Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in, and as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family to join us. And today we're going to have a very special guest. Really, we have a lot of special guests that's going to help us to know more about what's going on in education. But first, we'd like to start this off on the right foundation with God at the center. So I'm going to turn this over to our dear friend from California, Don Wallen. Hi, Don.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
Oh, well, you know how it is. Always very busy, aren't we? But thank God that you take time for the show, Don. And I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, to start us off in prayer.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Heavenly Father, we come to you today to thank you for the blessings we have of each other, the communication we see growing across the country, and the fight that continues against all the evil policies we see being thrust upon us. We truly see the blessing in your guidance, in your divine intervention in so many of these areas. But we would ask for your continued hedge of protection around all those who fight against the tyranny we see. We understand that our nation was built on the foundation of you and our inalienable rights given to us by you. And so we ask for your continued guidance, wisdom, growth, and protection so that we can continue this fight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you very much, Dawn. And I'm hoping Crystal is on. Crystal, are you on with us already? Okay. Is this Miss Christina? Hi, Miss Christina. Well, we're hoping that Crystal will join us shortly. I may have to send her just a little message. Just make sure she's not got any problems. I think today she said was a very good day, so hopefully I haven't confused her on the time. But I was just really excited to talk to her because my sister-in-law has been telling me about a video, and you two probably have already seen it. Dawn, you may have. It's put out by the Utah folks and their website, and it's about a psychologist who warns us really of the negative effects of the teachings, you know, in Common Core EL, English Language Arts. Have you seen that video, Don?
I haven't seen the video, but I've been reading the reports that were recommended and given to the Department of Education. And throughout even the reports of these people who are espousing, you know, how great all this stuff is going to be as far as the analytics, because that's something we don't talk a lot about, but we should be. This is beyond the education. It's the experimentation on our kids to try to manipulate things like self-determination and grit and tenacity and perseverance. And most of us have learned all those qualities either by watching parents who had all of those qualities or just through life experience. But they, of course, think they're going to instill these character traits in kids from the time that they're 3 years old. But throughout these reports, they flat out say there are multiple risks in everything they're doing. The fact that I can find none of these people using or analyzing from reports that are previous to maybe 1991 is truly frightening, because we know we have this huge repository of information. It is one of the areas government has spent some of the most money, is to analyze how children learn. And everybody has their theory and their philosophy and their ideology on how children learn. They've been doing it since, you know, forever anyway. But none of these things will report any kind of analytics by them looking at anybody else's information previous to about 1991, 1992, which is truly frightening, because it tells me that there wasn't a lot of stuff done under the guise of some of the experimentation that we're going to see. And they talk about the psychological issues involved and the risks that are involved here. So if they know there's an inherent risk, they know that this can push some kids off the rails. You know, why aren't we just saying it's we can't do this? I don't care if it's one kid or 1,000 kids that are affected.
Well, excuse me, it's really very maddening. I should have already watched this. I've been so busy, but I just saw just a minute's worth, and that was enough to make me so furious. And I'm thinking every parent that hears about this is probably going to feel the same way we're feeling right now, Miss Christina. I just furious, mad, very, you know, fearful for the children.
You know, there's, to go to Dawn's point, there's something in C-Scope that actually, because of the emotional things, they actually teach children about committing suicide. And then you can go to all the drugs they're pumping into the children. You know, a lot of these drugs have the side effects of, they make them suicidal and everything else. This is what we're going to do to our children.
They just said that kids having tantrums is a psychological issue, that your kids should be medicated. If your kid, your three-year-old throws themselves down on the ground at Walmart because you won't buy them that toy, evidently we need to do a psychological evaluation, get him treatment, and medicate him at three, because that sounds brilliant.
Well, but that's the whole goal of this. The more medicated through diet, injections, injunctions, and all the different methodologies that they're going to be using to manage these children. And this technology.
It's truly really frightening coming from the perspective of, Christina and I've talked about this a lot. So much of what we see reminds us of, you know, things we learned in college about B.F. Skinner and some of the experiments that were done on college students. So these were adults. And the idea about, you know, where does authority begin and how long does it take? But anyway, we've been talking about that, you know, they're drilling this down to young minds to the extent that this is just, it really is, it's beyond frightening. Mm-hmm. It is completely, if I'm a parent with a kid right now that has any ability to get into school, is of an age, preschool, whatever, I am pulling them so far out of public education right now, because the idea that they are going to be, and thoroughly very transparent about it, experimenting on your kid to figure out how to make a more compliant person. They want to build the best, quote-unquote, citizen, global citizen for tomorrow, and they do not care how they do it. Frankly, the most expedient way to do that, the better in their book. And this isn't some pipe dream, oh, we're sort of just exaggerating. This is based on information that the Federal Department of Education is putting out. And frankly, the fact that we don't have any Congress people that are taking any of this stuff seriously should be truly maddening to every parent out there that votes. And I don't care on what side of the aisle you're on. They're not going to look to see if your kid is a Democrat or a Republican before they hook them up to the electrodes for an EEG to track how your kid learns.
Well, I think you're right. I think the legislators are in for a surprise of their life. I mean, when I think about the audacity of what our legislature did, because we could have gotten out this year. It was really, you know, looking pretty good for Alabama. We had a good bill. And then the audacity of one man, and really a lot more than one man. But I think next year they're going to pay the price for it, because the more people find out, the madder they're going to get. And there is no excuse. And one of the things that makes me so mad is the excuse of our superintendent of education, you know, to pull the parents out of the loop. And I'm thinking, there is no justification for that.
Here's what's really frightening, Diana. I had a conversation with a friend. He's a conservative who is very active, or at least was for a long time, in the Tea Party. She knows what's going on. I'm telling her about Common Core, and she comes back with the, well, really, it's not that bad, and I kind of like the way that they're teaching math, and blah, 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 and goes on. And as I'm sitting there with my mouth hanging open, I'm just thinking, so what do we do about the rest of the people who aren't even attached to being fully aware of what's going on in government? What do we do about those people? Because if I am sitting there with somebody who I think is far more aware than most, who is telling me how great they love this conceptualization of math because they had difficulties as a child, I'm just going, you know, how far do we have to go before they get it? If this was just about how they teach math, we'd all call it a day. It's not about how they teach math. It's not even about what type of English, frankly. What it's about is everything else that encompasses this, and an absolutely takeover by the federal government on an education system, not just public education, private education, homeschoolers.
Well, I think they're very happy that most Americans don't hear this in the news, so they're just thinking they're going to get away with it. And, you know, like that lady, she's not hearing about the stories we have with Jackie Berger. She's not heard the story of the psychologist that's talking about how these children are being manipulated negatively. And, two, Ms. Christina, you know, researching the United Nations part on it, you have really opened my eyes, because I think that's one of the things most Americans really distrust is the UN.
Yes.
And now when we see line by line how they have a plan for our children to really to take over our education system, I think when we finally get that information through to them, which no thanks to the mainstream media, I believe it is going to happen, I think that there's going to be a big change.
The United Nations, Diana, it's broader than just taking over the education system. And this educational push right now is the culmination of what they have put into place. So we're actually at the end of the process, not the beginning of the process. This has been going on for years and years and years and years. So, and their goal is to create sustainable citizenry, sustainable workforce. So all of this Common Core standard curriculum, the curriculum that's written to the standards or whatever, is it's designed to do exactly what we're sitting here talking about, to create a managed workforce, a citizenry that is totally managed. It's not just the education. It's the vehicle is the education system. The ultimate goal is the one world order, to change the entire. The United States is the last holdout. And that's why the big push is on right now. And they've got the perfect president in office to do it. The perfect people in office to do this.
You know, last night I was watching this really interesting documentary about Germany, even right before the First World War. And because I find that really fascinating. It's like, you know, I find it really fascinating to read about Marx and Stalin and Lenin, and because this what we see now is very reminiscent of those that came into power previously, historically. And I'm watching this documentary, and it went back further than most documentaries about Nazism does. And it went back to pre-World War I, and where so many of these ideas culminated from that Hitler thought were great. Because I think most Americans don't realize that when Hitler and company wanted to know about eugenics, it was the progressives in America that taught them. It was the progressives after the First World War that were so into eugenics and were just thinking that's the most marvelous thing in the world. And so this documentary was about the books that certain people had read and became, and they were books of fiction, but they became so enthralled with this idea of the Aryan people that were actually, you know, this perfect race. You know, this was why Hitler spent so much time and energy on having women get impregnated by SS troops, because they were already of perfect, pure Aryan blood. And most people just think about the whole racist part of this against Jews, but what they forget to analyze was the whole idea of it. Why they were trying to do was this whole idea of the perfect person, the perfect specimen. And so they were talking about this organization, the Vril Society. And for as much as people think that we're all nuts and we're all crazy and we're just watching Looney Tunes stuff out there, we have tinfoil hats on, what irritates me the most is that those are generally people who understand very little about our own history, let alone European history. And this is where they derived a lot of this idea, was from a book called The Coming Race. And that was published back in late 1871. So they took a work of fiction. It talked about this Aryan antediluvian civilization that was perfection. This was utopia. This was, and they had this power within them, this Vril, it was called. That is no different, frankly, than what we see happening in education. There is no giant leap where somebody to me would say, I'm sure they would say it, but it's not true, that, oh my goodness, come on. They talk about what we're supposed to be feeding our children and what is the best for them, how our children and when their children should be exercising, how our environment should be for our children. Now they're going to be testing our children while they're at school. They're going to be looking at the affects of our children. Is your kid smiley? Is he gloomy today? What makes him feel this way? They are going to dig into every part of the essence of your child in order to build what? Oh, yes, the perfect specimen. How the hell is that different? Seriously.
Well, you know, in something... In 1973, I think it was, they had what they called the values clarification training. and they taught out of a book called Innovations in Education, A Change Agent's Guide. It's a period in education where they called it the unfreezing of children's values. Those are the values that are taught by the parent at home and church, basically. Change agents were highly trained by these national training laboratories with a headquarters in Bethel, Maine. This goes back to World War II. They want to change the values and to unfreeze the system. And then they're going to implement new values, and these new values are the new communist values for world government. And they state that in the Chinese communist group process and mind control, that was the goal, and they've done a great job of changing our children's values to date, haven't they? And it's ongoing. And that happened between 1970 and the year 2000. And now they're saying, oh, we've got to be tolerant of the most evil behaviors. Well, where did that come from? This mind control of unfreezing the system and changing and putting in place new values. And so now we've got all this tolerance and equality and diversity and so on and so forth. But there are no absolutes anymore. It's not fair to judge people. Don't be judgmental, you know, so on and so forth. But that's what you call the values or clarification or situation ethics. It's the education for a planned economy using workforce training, which is what I was just saying about the sustainability movement. Identifying children at an early age, what they're going to do the rest of their lives. It's a Soviet planned economic system starting as early as the first grade. And now it's being put in under the guise of school choice, charter schools, and performance-based, we hear that all the time, performance-based, outcome-based, going back to Skinnerian, Pavlovian method with a computer. Now, fast forward to Common Core, data mining, the computers, or the technology.
Well, and it's what we refer to on the show about it's moral relativism.
Yes.
You know, it's only moral or immoral based on what the majority thinks. So if you have the majority all thinking, and by the way, the ultimate irony of all this, the idea of being tolerant and all that stuff, at the end of the day, if they finally get to where Hitler wanted to be, which was the final solution, that tolerance goes away. Because if you don't fit into that particular scheme of things, you know, you're going to be considered the undesirable. And if adults aren't getting this message, understand that in Obamacare, one of the things that health insurance carriers are responsible for doing, by the way, is implementing a scoring system based on your health. And they're taking all of your health records along with everybody else's, and your health insurance has to sit down and determine, just like we do for your financial security or where you are with your score financially, they're going to do this for your health. So what do you think that we're going to do with people who are high risk or diseased or potentially have something in their genetic makeup that makes them not so great of a risk? I mean, this goes so far beyond what we've already seen, but the potential, we already know there's a potential for abuse. We see it every day. If you're not watching the news, then I don't know how you're not hearing about the abuse of the power of government right now. So frankly, you have to get it out of your mind that that's never going to happen. They're never going to abuse that. You already know that they are. They're doing it now. So even adults, you know, I imagine that's the time when we get exactly to where Hitler got, where, you know, we've picked out the perfect parents and we will pair them up because we want them to have the perfect children and the most compliant. And, you know, there we go. The perfect utopian society.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that leaves very little room, by the way, for the rest of us, which is why they're so involved with eugenics.
Mm-hmm. You know, we can bring this closer to home. You can bring it closer to home. Let's talk about Jackie's son. Jackie's son was 8 years old. 8 years old, 9 years old is about the cutoff point, 8, 9, when they're going to determine what that child will become in this managed force that they're going to have. So with him taking...
They've already established he needs psychological treatment. That's
what did they say to her? What were their exact words? Your kid needs psychological help. They would take that child, a perfectly good child, you know, look at Dr. Benjamin Carson, we always go back to him, but nonetheless, look at, they would have taken that child and put it in as one of the undesirables. It would have gotten put in under the United Nations, the convention, let's see, on the rights of
under
persons
rights of
disabilities.
Uh-huh,
yes.
Persons with disabilities.
That would have taken in children like who, she's got a learning disability and all these, you know, children that have special needs of one fashion or another. That's why the UN was pushing so hard for us to ratify this treaty. It would have given them control over all of the children that were disabled, special needs, whatever.
Oh, here's a better example. Forget Ben Carson, who, you know, the thing about his story is that he came from a parent who was basically illiterate, and she managed to make sure that her kids took education very seriously and had major boundaries in the home so that they excelled to places that she would, you know, could only dream of.
But how about by the time he was nine.
How about people like Dr. Temple Grandin, who is autistic, who has been one of the big, if you are big into the environmental movement, this is one of your heroes, because she has done more for the helping of animals and the correct treatment, the sympathetic treatment of animals, especially in farming practices. This woman has a PhD. She's one of the most famous women in the world, but she is autistic. So imagine under these same circumstances, what would she have been considered by nine? Another
right.
throwaway.
Right. Well, and then that's how they're going to determine this. If you're rebellious, like, okay, Benjamin Carson was a rebellious child. At 8 and 9, he was terrible. His behavior was horrible. So he would have been classified. And look at what he went on to become. Look at what this lady went on to become. But we're going to take him from 8 and 9 and say, we are going to determine whether you're worth anything or not. This is the reality of it. I mean, I don't know if people out in the audience think that, you know, we're all crazy, but this is reality. And we better all wake up to the reality.
Wow. Well, I think, you know, I used to really find it hard to study the United Nations and their plan for our country, but with what's going on with Common Core, I'm going to make it my business to know a lot more about them. And I just saw a blog by Diane Ragich blog. She says, let's see, it's a reform movement based on the Soviet model. And guess when this was done? Today, Ms. Christina. And then we find in the United Nations, UNESCO website,
mm-hmm.
guess who is the head, the chair of the Education for All Steering Committee of UNESCO? It's Russia.
Yes.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, we better wake up.
Uh-huh.
We had better wake up. We had better get involved. There's plans for our children. There's plans for children in America. And you cannot really say that Common Core is in any way good when you're hearing what the psychologist is saying, when we're hearing what Jackie Verga's son had to go through, and really with that United Nations Convention on the Rights of a Person with Disability, they couldn't pass the UN Convention on the Rights of a Child. That was a big blanket they were seeking, but yet they take the same wording, part of it, which is really about their ability to control a child on that, you know, rights of a person with a disability. And really today, with so many children on Ritalin, I would just, and all sorts of other problems, they would probably have control of the majority of the children anyway, if that
yes.
had passed.
Yes. And that's where this society is going. You notice everything got labeled, you know, ADD, ADHD, or whatever, you know, what you want to put labeled, you want to put to it. Everything now has a label. When we were growing up, I'm sure that we were all, you know, weren't the sweetest of kids, did our share of, you know, stuff. Were we labeled then? No. Today, everything has a label. And it has a label so you can have a drug, so you can start controlling behavior via drugs.
Yeah, and if you acted like a bully, you would probably, you know, be forced to take a drug,
mm-hmm,
and you wouldn't see
down.
People like Dr. James Dobson coming
mm-hmm.
out of that pile.
Right. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, if you can't control, how are you going to control someone that is basically rebellious or whatever? You dumb them down with drugs.
Very dangerous.
It is. This is one of the most insidious things I've ever seen. And going to Don's point, where are the legislatures? You know, you can't believe, I mean, I realize they've got, you know, their plate full at the moment with everything that's going on. But, you know, this is something that is so critical to America's future.
And I don't even buy into that excuse anymore. Because, frankly, that is their job. I'm sorry that you have a lot of stuff to deal with, but that's because you keep allowing, you never resolve even one of these issues. I mean, does anybody even talk about Fast and Furious anymore? Nah.
No.
Ice moved beyond that. He doesn't care. He's on to the next trendy thing. And they never resolve anything. This is the problem. This is how government gets out of control. We're not going to enforce laws that we have on the books. We're just going to create new ones so that we can look really busy. Well, guess what? Your only job was to go there and handle, as a representative of me, what I want you to do as the governing of the people. You don't get to go there and have your own agenda and turn around, oh, I don't have time to read a bill. Really? Because that's your only job. We're paying you your salary to sit there and do your job. And evidently, I have yet to find very many that are doing it successfully.
Right. And then what is the oversight committee's job? Not to wait until something happens, but to have oversight of it while it's in progress so that you catch these things before they hit and turn into scandals and everything else that they've turned into. So now we have this media frenzy, you know, of everything that's going on. But in the meanwhile, no one's watching the other hand. And this administration's notorious for their smoke screens. Put up something. Drop the bomb of the IRS. Drop the bomb of this. And get everybody's eyes off of what I'm doing over here. And this is one of the things that he's doing, is cozying up to the UN, selling us out to the UN, selling out our sovereignty, selling out our children, selling out our country.
Wow.
And we're looking,
I mean, you can really connect dots.
And the worst of all of this is that nobody's stopping him. Frankly, I am of the opinion now that as a people, we should tell Congress that we're not going to pay you anymore. We're going to keep that money. We're not going to pay that portion of our taxes that go to employing you. Y'all can just come on home, because frankly, you're not doing anything. You are not following the Constitution. Evidently, the only amendment in the Constitution that the Obama administration seems to really enjoy is the Fifth Amendment.
Yes.
Other than that, they have basically burned the document. We have a Congress who has the ultimate oversight on everything. Remember that whole thing we learned in school as kids? Oh, that's right. Beyond me, you didn't. If you're younger than me, you didn't learn this. But our government was set up the way it was, with checks and balances. So there was no ability for some totalitarian, tyrannical dictator to come into power. Oh, my goodness, that's not what it looks like today. Well, that's because Congress refuses to do its job. Why did we give the Republicans the majority of the House if they sit idly by and not just allow this to happen, but have become complicit in its happening?
They're not even exercising their right to stop his executive orders. They have the ability to stop those executive orders. They have 90 days from the time he implements an executive order. And have you seen them step up and stop any of his executive orders?
I don't know if you guys remember, since there's all this talk about Watergate, if you guys remember Watergate, probably. I remember very, you know, a little bit of it. I was a mere child.
Which, I didn't have a lot of it.
But I remember being actually homesick from school the day that Nixon stepped down. But I remember Watergate and some of the stuff because it was a big deal in my household. And back then, remember, we didn't have all this media. You know, you had about six channels back then, so it was everywhere. And there were so many people that went to prison, that were high power leadership in the White House that went to prison for the act of the one act of this well, in the encompassing cover-up of Watergate, which by in comparison to what we see today is almost laughable, frankly. It's really a shame Nixon wasn't alive to actually see this because he would be probably saying, ha-ha, I guess you guys don't think I'm a crook anymore. But so many things that we have seen that have come down to the pike, I remember sitting watching the Iran-Contra on C-SPAN. Yeah, I was kind of a political geek even back then, and thinking that Oliver North was just, you know, unbelievable and had such a great head on his shoulders and was trying to obviously warn Congress of some stuff that was happening. Oh yeah, by the way, including Osama bin Laden. And nobody took notice. And now we have a Speaker of the House who says, I don't want to know who gets fired. I want to know who's going to jail. And then goes out and does nothing about it. I am so tired, and I think it's true. John Griffin from WND says, he calls this deception fatigue. The general public doesn't care because they've been deceived so often, they don't know what to believe, if anything, anymore. So here we have, it's not the scandal. Stop calling it a scandal. This isn't somebody's wife cheating on her husband. This isn't some soap opera. Call this what it is. These are criminal acts, an abuse of power, that if this was happening at Enron, oh yeah, Enron. Remember Enron? This kind of stuff was happening at Enron. What happened to them? People went to jail. They went away. Bernie Madoff. This is the same kind of stuff the government's doing, and we're acting like it's all part and parcel of the system. Oh, that's just the way the system is. Well, it's not. Read your Constitution. That's not how it was set up. And the fact that nobody seems to be ruffled by it as a citizen, by this very fact that this is happening, and now it's filtering itself into your kids, where you have no control over what will happen to your children. I just don't know what is the line in the sand for parents to wake up and say, wow, this is it. This is the final. I'm tired of this. I'm going to protect my kid.
Well, there is a great awakening. I do sense it, Dawn. You know, I'm just, you know, really excited about what's going on. A lot of these states are starting to form resolutions. I just saw, I think it was Utah that I looked at just recently, and we've seen Michigan, and we've seen the work of Indiana, and this is really the first year that they've really woke up. You know, I know we've been talking about this for years, but without the help from the mainstream media and everybody trusting the education, our teachers, our sweet, wonderful teachers, to be doing their job, which they were, you know, it's not really the teacher's fault here. We're talking about the superintendents that's at fault here, and really the principals, too, for not studying and testing these tests, these standards. But I'm really thinking, like, you know, this is really the first year that we've had an awakening. And for us to see this many states already lining up, I just really feel like next year is going to be an incredible year. There's going to be a big fight. You know, we're getting ready. I know part of the problem, though, is the churches are asleep. But when they wake up, that giant is going to be I don't think the legislators are going to be able to handle when the church finally awakes. And I think about that scripture, Miss Christina, you know, I think we've talked about that Second Chronicles.
Yeah.
My people who are called by his name, you know.
By my name will humble themselves. Yeah, I will heal their nation.
I really see that in this particular issue, how important that is and why it is a must that it is the church that awakens, because really it is the church that stands in the gap, that should be standing in the gap.
I was just going to say the same thing, Diana. It's exactly what we were talking about and what we're working on. It needs to come. We've got to wake up these pastors that can reach the parents in the congregations, the teachers, the educators. This is a mass reach out. And the pastors need to wake up because they're not doing their job from the pulpit. They're so afraid of 501Cs, which we've talked about. You know, I mean, it's got to stop, and these people have to wake up, because we're all accountable to God for what we're doing, and we have a charge from Him, as we know, to protect His innocent, and we're not doing that. We are not. I mean, we are, but this nation isn't. It's lost sight of what it's supposed to. It's lost sight of God, period. And look at what's happened to our nation now that God is gone.
And, you know, I'm sorry, Dawn. I'm going to say this and I'll let you get a comment on it. I've never really understood this as well as I have today. The wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. And when you think about the United Nations, where all but two states, the United States and Somalia, are signatories to this UN Convention on the Rights of a Child, you know, we do look foolish, but God's Word says who is really supposed to have the responsibility of training the children? It's the parent, the father. And I can't remember the exact scripture, but we have really went, the world doesn't understand that. They cannot understand that, but I'm seeing what that means now, Dawn.
Well, you know how I feel about pastors not using their leadership to A, teach doctrine, or B, to stand up for being Christian. You know, we've had the heel of government on the throats of our pastors and on the throats of us as Christians for so long that, frankly, there is sort of this underground Christianity that I see happen in this country. We were on a call not too long ago, and a friend said something about, he knew God had a path for him, and he was just waiting to see what that path was. Here's somebody I've known for a long time who has never been overtly Christian. You know, I mean, I've prayed with this man, I've taken meals with this man, I know his family, but he's never been overtly so. So it took me by quite a shock, and I thought, okay, so is this the revelation now that, you know, it's time to stand up and be counted? You know, what brings you finally, literally, to your knees? I think for everybody it's something different. But I am always so disappointed and so angered, I think, by churches that care more about a tax-exempt status than actually being part of the fight and standing up for those things that are right. Or the pastors who have gone completely the opposite way, who are doing a big kumbaya for everybody, even though it goes directly against doctrine. You know, I don't understand what it would take to get all these apostate churches to finally come back to God. Why do you exist if you're not going to be talking to God, if you're not sharing the message, if you're not teaching your congregation how to live in the world in 2013, have a biblical worldview? That's what the Bible is that life manual. And if you're not teaching it, no wonder we have so many people that have no clue or completely apathetic morally. You know, because at the very heart of this, we don't have anybody teaching this.
Because it's not popular and they want attendance. 501c3 has become the new God. Their attendance is more important. And so they're compromising the word for what they have to do to get the attendance, which is putting in Starbucks in their churches, which is, you know, bringing in all the sports and let's have all the social functions, and they're forgetting the word of God. There's no word anymore being taught. They're just being taught social skills, social justice. This is where we're going. compromise.
Well, I think of that scripture, my people perish for lack of knowledge, and
yes,
I think we're at that point, and this is why there is now a bowing of heads and bending of knees, because now, you know, it's no longer our neighbors that got a problem. It's really in our own families now.
Yeah.
It's our own homes. And so isn't, in a way, Ms. Christina Don, you know, how wise of God, because in a way America has gotten so successful that we had forgotten we have need of Him.
Right.
But in this problem that we're having, and it's really us against the world at the UN Convention, you know, when you look at the United Nations website and the page and their plans, and you see all these nations are signatories to it, and we're almost alone, you know? I mean, it's really very shocking. Very shocking that, you know, when you finally look at it for yourself face to face, and that's what I invite other people to do, is really study for yourself. We're not just making things up. You can look at the website. They're pretty open about it.
Yeah, and I would strongly suggest that people do that. You know, we can give you the information and we can do all of this, but do your own homework. Don't just take our word for it. Do your homework. Get out there and research and find out what's going on. There's nothing hidden. It's all available to everyone to research. Just get out there and do it.
We
and
have
that's
fatigued.
What I'm going to try to do.
I think we have
post that on our website. Go ahead.
Yeah.
We've fatigued people so much with, I think this is one of the big problems with not just mainstream media, but the 24/7 media.
Oh, yeah.
That we have really now got a populace, not just in this country, but globally, that are immune to the things we see happening. The fact that you are able to see things in real time, horrific things that are happening in real time. People become very immune, I think, to what happens around them. And I don't think that it gives them any clue that it's happening to them.
Desensitization of everything.
Right.
Did you see that thing about in universities now? We're no longer dating and we're no longer doing it. We're hooking up. You know, everything, this is part of this whole movement, the sexuality part. You know, it's cool, you guys have fun, experiment with homosexuality, do whatever you want, and destroying the values. Well, now, they no longer want to date. They decide after they meet up and they have sex all night or whatever, they wake up the next day and decide whether they want to exchange a phone number or not. There's nothing, there's no connection anymore. There's no feeling.
But technology that we have today has already created that environment anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You have kids that are sitting next to each other who are texting each other. We're making, and by the way, that's part of the education process. The minute we start doing away with cursive or them having to handwrite, and we're giving them, quote-unquote, technology to use, so handwriting is no longer important, all that socialization that happens, all the lessons we learn in school, just by the mere fact of being in it together, are gone. And instead, what we're doing is we're conditioning our kids to have this moral relativism, and, you know, have this situational morality.
But that's part of the goal. That is the
goal. I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And yesterday we witnessed live on TV the beheading, the horrific murder of two English soldiers.
Oh, one English soldier by two men.
There you go.
Yeah.
And had this guy stop and basically give an interview about it in broad daylight. And by the way, the next time that Piers Morgan is talking about, you know, the fact that we're too well in this country, it wouldn't have taken our police force 20 minutes to respond because they were trying to find one Bobby with a freaking gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lady that actually calmed the man down probably would have been the one to take him out. But here we see this stuff live. And is anybody, all I'm thinking is, how are they going to call this workplace violence?
Right.
You know, How are people not completely just floored by what they see?
And someone stood there videotaping the whole thing. A lady's on the other side of the street collecting stuff. And people are just, and there's a whole line of men just standing over on the other side watching all of this.
Wow.
I mean, hello? Even the kids at that school, high school in Texas, that that one kid went off with the knife and started slashing everyone. Those kids jumped him and brought him down. Here are these people standing there on the street watching while this guy is raving like a mad lunatic and talking about, you know, Allah Akbar and Allah Allah. But it's maybe terrorism.
Yeah.
You're right, Don. I mean, it's crazy where we've come.
Yeah, this is why I like our quote unquote older generation, and this is also part of our society that by the way is spreading not just America. We see it in other cultures that have always had a very strong connection to the older people in their communities. There was always a reverence, you know, the Japanese culture, Chinese culture. You even see that changing in their cultures. In this culture, it's the same way. But that's what I love about older people, because they're the few people left that look at stuff like this and call it for what it is and say, what has happened to my country? What has happened to my country that nobody seems to want to stop this? No person wants to stand up and just say enough is enough and call this out. I mean, we're doing it. We're all doing that.
We are, yes.
And, you know, we had James O'Keefe on our California call yesterday, and somebody asked this really great question about somebody was having sort of this back and forth with somebody from mainstream media who had gotten something wrong in an article or whatever, and he wanted to know if it was even worth his time to do this. And James O'Keefe flat out said, no, why are you bothering? All you keep doing is reacting to what they do and say. You guys need to be the ones that are making the news and putting the story out there. Don't rely on them to do it. They're never going to. And I think that's absolutely true. We have to pretend like they don't exist because, frankly, in our world, they really don't anyway. Quit waiting for them to all of a sudden having a come-to-Jesus moment. It's not going to happen. We need to be the one driving our narrative, driving the machine for ourselves to say, this is what's happening. I'm not debating you on this. I'm telling you this is what's happening. It is your choice whether or not you want to believe it, look at the evidence, and believe it. If you choose not to, guess what? I'm passing you by and moving on to the next person. This isn't open for debate. This is what is happening, period.
That's right. And we have to understand, you know, going to what you're saying, that their whole goal is to remove the love of country and patriotism, because that's what they say is the first step in educating the child for a world citizenship. So they have to remove, you know, because what they say is a child enters school, his mind has already been profoundly marked and often injuriously by earlier influence, first gained, however dimly, in the home. So in other words, whatever they've learned in the home, the goal of this ultimate thing in Common Core is to remove all of that, however methods that they're going to use, to remove all of that love of home, country, family, patriotism, nationalism, because they're saying that the child is infected by the parents. They've got to change that whole mindset. I mean, we are going to literally brainwash these kids into becoming just robotic children that do and say as their schoolmasters would have wished, and that's a quote out of the UN. So this,
and we see that. I mean
we see it. Yes, we absolutely see
every
it.
Every time go to a big public sporting event, baseball game, football game, whatever. When they do the national anthem, look around you. Who is standing still? Who is singing? Who is showing reverence for patriotism?
Mm-hmm.
And which of the parents with the kid that's screaming and squirreling and are playing with their kid, that's the one that doesn't care anymore.
Right.
And
well,
it's happening every
time. If it doesn't happen at home,
gets bigger every day.
in school, because that's the school these facilitators are taught, which facilitators are teachers. They will be called facilitators from now on. And that's what they're teaching the children. They're taking them away from nationalism and love of country and so on, and taking and family and values into this their concept of this utopian, you know, world citizenship thing.
Well, it just makes me think, listening to y'all, that, you know, there's really nothing new under the sun when you think about what the Bible talks about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God who created us knew what was going to happen, and he had been warning us. And it's just really amazing when we remember, as we've been trying to do, the history of this nation with a beginning law for education, which was called, aptly put, the Old Deluder Satan Act. And,
yeah,
you know, it was there so that the children would know how to read, so they can compare what is in the Word of God that's full of wisdom on how to live, and comparing it with the laws being made. And we went such a long way off that basic principle that
mm-hmm.
now that form of education is going to be used so that we can learn the ways of the UN to become
yes.
global citizens for our children.
That's why
really
we are where we are in our society today, Diana, with God. You know, God is looking at us, and, you know, he has called us. He's done everything to wake this nation up, and this nation goes farther, farther away from the Lord. Yes, there are his believers that are still here, and that's the only thing holding America up right now. But people better wake
up.
We are going. Yeah. We're in end time.
With that in mind, Ms. Christian, I want to ask you to close us in prayer, because I just really, you know, the more you know, the worse it is than what you thought it was. So, parents, if you're listening to us and you're thinking it sounds bad, when you dig into it and do your own homework, you're going to be astounded that, you know, we're really very mild when you compare the truth, because we've not told you everything that we know. We know very little, but what we do know is horrible. But you have to know, right, Ms. Christine? You cannot afford to be blind, because they're coming after your family.
Whether you stick your head in the sand or not is irrelevant. It's still going to happen. And you'll just get your ass kicked. I'm sorry.
Well, and we have to be like Gideon. We have to be wise, or Caleb. And, you know, we have to really trust God, and he gives us the knowledge that we need, though. But
knowledge and the tools, if we just will focus on them and focus on him first, and then utilize the knowledge and tools that he gives us. He is guiding this entire project that we're doing. The three of us are sitting here. We've co-founded a national organization to fight Common Core. He has had his hand on this project from inception. I don't know one day that has gone by that God hasn't opened a door for us or done something for us that has brought us farther along in our project. So while the world has its designs on our children and everything else that's going on, we stay focused on the Lord, and we will accomplish his will. And he told us to protect the innocent. There is a reason we are doing what we're doing. And we're standing up and ringing the bell, and we're going to continue to ring it until he returns. And we're going to keep fighting. We're not sitting down, because we are fighting in God's army, not the world.
And he's equipping us. I just think of the knowledge that, you know, Dawn has with how to organize people and coordinate. And, Ms. Christina, I'm just amazed at your knowledge of how to fight the United Nations plan, you know, for the state. And all those are so very much needed for this fight. So I thank God for this time that we have together. And if you don't mind, Ms. Christina, would you close us in prayer? We have that mighty relationship with God, and we know nothing is impossible with him.
That is exactly the truth. And, Lord, we just come together now, and we just thank you that you are right here with us, Lord. We know that you're walking with us. We know that you're leading us. We know that you're guiding us. And, Lord, we just thank you as we go forth into this day and each day, that your spirit, as we come across people, and as we reach out to people, Lord, that the Spirit will soften their hearts, will open their eyes and their ears to see what we're telling them, to hear what we're telling them, to feel it into the depths of their soul, Lord, to understand there's danger ahead. You're warning us, Lord, and it's up to us to heed the warning and give the warning to others. Lord, we just ask you that the Spirit move in a mighty way that we can reach people and protect the innocent as you have charged us to do. Lord, we thank you as we go forth into our projects that your hand is upon each and every one of us, your blessings and protection, your guidance and your wisdom. And Lord, we just thank you that you will take us and open all the doors that need to be opened that we can achieve what you would have us to achieve. And Lord, we just thank you and thank you so much for all that you are allowing us to do and showing us how to do it, Lord. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. In your precious name, Yeshua, we thank you and praise you. Amen.
Amen. And Don, if you don't mind, mention about the website that you want people to go to.
Our website is www.natcure.org, and they can learn all about Common Core and find people in their area to help them fight it. And we're going to keep all of it updated and give alternatives for parents if they want to pull their kid out of public school. And, you know, we're doing everything we can to educate parents and so they can protect their children.
Oh, and that reminds me also for teachers, we're going to try to interview Finn Larson with Christian Educators Association International. And also, you know, I know Mr. Larry Sand with CTN. We need to let you become aware of these other organizations that will represent teachers, educators, because we know of what you're facing, and you're going to be asked to make a stand sooner or later. Well, listeners, thank you for listening to City on the Hill. Please go to our website, cityonthehill.tv. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. And tune in tomorrow as we interview Mr. Dan Fraley as we look at the Middle East and Israel. Thank you and goodbye.